It's 902-1-OMG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Oh my gosh, you guys. You are all a sight for sore eyes.
I know. It's so good to see you guys.
Hi.
We're back.
We're back with another episode, a new season of 902-1-OMG. You guys, thank you so much for being patient with us. We know we're a little late getting started in the new year, but we've had some setbacks.
Yeah, a little late to the party, but the best things are the things worth waiting for. Is
nope.
that right? Nope. Okay, so we were just talking
like
before
that.
We start recording that we've had COVID.
Both of us. First, you got COVID 1 week, the first week of January, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I got COVID the second week of January. Isn't that weird?
It's like friend osmosis.
We were never together.
Never together.
Isn't that crazy?
Never even talked on the phone.
Yeah.
You didn't even give it to me through the phone.
No, not even. Like literally, we went, what, two years? 2 years without getting this thing. We beat it and then boom, both of us.
Same. And you were saying that you feel like we have COVID brain now.
Yes. I mean, we both know mom brain really well.
Mm.
And now COVID brain, it's way worse.
It's so worse. You know what? It sucks because first of all, we have mom brain. Second of all, I can't remember shit. And third of all, now I can't even speak because there are thoughts in my mind and my mouth doesn't deliver. Like, so.
Oh, what does that mean? It's Amy, you guys.
But yeah, we're here with Sugar Man.
I'm here. I am having anxiety hearing you guys talk about it. What?
Because you haven't gotten it, right?
No. I mean, I'm pretty much
should.
Like, really?
I'm sorry. I couldn't. The people that had it bad and, you know, obviously people have been devastated by it and we weren't to that point. But when you have it, it's not good. It's.
Yeah. So what is COVID brain doing? Like, what does it feel like?
I feel like there's a blank in my, you know, like I feel like there's like a delay in my brain.
Yes.
More than usual.
There's a total delay. Mm-hmm. Like you want, like you have all these things going through your brain. You want to say it and then you go to speak and it's like, pause. And you're like, where it's not coming out. What's happening? And then you get nervous. And so then it really doesn't come out. So this episode should be interesting.
Bear with us, guys.
Getting back into it.
We'll get better.
But I got to tell you, one thing about COVID that's been good is I see the bottles behind you, Amy, a booze. Well, it's a print, a painting, right? I don't have my glasses on.
You have a painting. Hold on. Sugarman has a painting or some sort of photograph of giant alcohol bottles behind
her. They look like alcohol bottles, but they say like Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Gucci, Dior. So they like.
Wait, they're designer booze? No, I'm just
designer.
I'm just kidding. Oh,
you guys, I'm so happy you're both okay. Like, seriously, that sucks.
Wait, but I have to say one more thing. Seeing those bottles, I was thinking of booze. And, you know, everyone talks about dry January. Mm-hmm. And I had so much, like, anxiety about, I can't do dry January. I can't do a dry month. I'm a mom. I need my wine. Well, COVID forced me to not drink. So that was the good outcome. Yeah, so I haven't drank all month.
We've had it. I
did
you're
it.
Right. I haven't.
Dry.
Well, that's not true. I did have a drink recently, but much
for
dry.
A while. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So see, there's perks.
Yep.
Can we also quickly say that we did not plan this, but everyone is dressed 90210 today.
We are?
Yeah, because
I have
you're
like
wearing
Beverly
your
Hills.
I choose me. Tori's wearing True Beverly Hills and I'm wearing 90210 with hearts.
So look at that.
This is some weird thing that Jen and I have done for years that we won't even talk about something, but we'll like dress coordinating. So Amy,
usually,
you've fallen into it. It's like how women sync their cycles and they don't even mean to. Friends also sync their wardrobe without meaning to.
And True Beverly
and COVID,
Hills
apparently.
Is just straight legit. I love Jenny's clothing line and I asked her to bring it back because I think those sweatshirts are amazing, but also True Beverly Hills. I mean,
oh my gosh. I know. Stella stole my Choose Me sweatshirt and is obsessed with it.
Same. Lola stole mine too. I got it back today though.
Which I think is a good. That's good. That's a testament to the younger generation. Like, obviously, you're making cool clothes because
they like it.
Because you know how they are. If they don't like something,
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we haven't seen or talked to anyone since before Christmas.
Yeah.
We haven't talked. We haven't done a podcast since before Christmas. We ended season two. And then we were like, woohoo, season three. Then we had a pause and now we're back. And it just feels like I haven't seen you guys in forever.
It's true. Well, we did Melrose Place, three episodes.
Right.
That seems like forever. And then we did Party of Five and...
No, those are your dreams, your COVID
I'm
dreams.
Legit pumped that season three is here because it is so good. Like it came flooding back to me that this is one of my favorite seasons. I think we got Ian shirtless pretty much out the gate.
I can't deal with the hair though.
It's getting worse.
Let's recap because it's been a second since we've talked 90210. OMG. Let's recap a little bit for season two. For me, I had to like be like, what happened? Where are we? We left off at the wedding, right? Jackie and Mel's wedding.
Yes.
Dylan and Jim were having a fight. Jack? Jake and Kelly were a thing.
Yes.
Jackie was pregnant. Donna's parents were splitting up.
Yes.
And I think that's about it, right?
And there you go. That was season two.
Now it's summer before senior year.
It's summer before senior year.
I'm glad we're back to summer episodes.
Me too. I needed something to live for.
It's been a long winter. We're happy to get into summer already.
I mean, does that mean we have to shave our legs? And I don't know.
Oh my God, I shaved my legs last night for the first time in a month. And it felt good.
Do you feel lighter?
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, I have to ask you one more question about COVID. Yeah. Did your whole, you said your whole family had it at the same time?
Yes.
Me too. But you have five kids.
Yes, which I hear is unlikely because once you have COVID, everyone comes out of the woodwork to say, like, to tell you their story about COVID, which was helpful in a way because I was feeling so isolated and like, am I the only one that's still, you know, day 11 feeling like crap? But a lot of people were saying certain people in the family got it, but not the whole family.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But we're an all for one. Like, all five kids got it.
Yeah, we all got it too, but it had like a trickle effect. Like, so it took about 3 weeks to roll out for everyone.
Isn't that crazy?
Giving it to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. No, mine got it all at once.
So wherever you got it, you all got it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you guys. Do you go back and be like, who the f- gave this to us? Like, who did this to us?
Yeah, I spent many hours just laying there trying to like think it out, who was where and when what happened. And yeah,
there's so much math involved with COVID. It's actually crazy.
And I actually got angry and started sending texts to people like, so you were here and then you tested positive. So we got it from you. And the person was like, we got it when we flew to Florida. We didn't get it in LA. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry. Like, yeah, you start pointing fingers.
Well, hopefully either everyone's going to get it and be fine and be okay.
I'm still trying to dodge it. I'm still
going to try vaccination. You got your vaccination. Did you get your booster?
You know me. I'm very honest. I need my booster. And I need your booster. But I don't know. But I'm hearing that possibly I got it worse because I didn't have the booster.
I believe
so. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
I was due for my booster in November and didn't. Okay. Yeah. I'm going. But now I don't know how long I need to wait till after I'm healed to go get the booster. But yeah.
I would wait a little minute because you've got all these natural antibodies already. Yeah. So why get it now? Wait, maybe I'm very educated speaking about this.
Dr. Garth, don't know anything. You know I trust you. So yes.
Just wait, like she's maybe usually right. Even 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah, sure.
Should we talk about Ian's hot body or just like maybe?
Oh my God.
Or his pollen to bring you back to reality.
We're boring Amy. Well, our COVID talk, she doesn't have it. This is like what happens when you guys talk about Real Housewives or some shit I don't care about. Right now, Amy's feeling bored because we're talking about something she doesn't care about. And can't
no,
relate
not
to.
At all. I actually so care, but I also care a lot about.
She cares, Ryan's but she can't relate.
Hot,
so yeah.
Hot bod.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about it.
She really wants to talk about it. Let's take a little break and we'll come back and we will get into season 3, episode 1. Okay, Amy, you don't have to wait any longer. We can talk about it now.
So we opened season 3, like right with Steve Sanders. Like it was,
we
just
do.
Like, hello.
Were you excited?
Well, should we talk about what the episode is first?
For sure.
Yeah, okay. Let's just give us our little spielska.
I can't find my page where I have it. Sorry.
Okay, we're talking about season 3, episode 1, Misery Loves Company, aired on July 15th, 1992.
Synopsis: Brenda defies her father by continuing to see Dylan. Brandon returns to work at the beach club where Andrea is a co-worker and his parents are new members, and Steve takes a job on a bet.
Directed by Jeffrey Millman, written by Jessica Klein and Steve Wasserman.
Starring
excellent
us.
Excellent episode.
It starts on obviously a dream, but I was like, this is a boring dream.
You know what I thought in the dream? There was a moment where I was like, is this going to get sexual?
Ew.
Is something going to happen with Mrs. T? And it was just the way she was like, Steve. And I was like, I don't know. This is weird. Like, is he going to have a dream about his vice principal?
Oh, I'm glad it didn't end up like that. Let me tell you. but it did start out with the big dream. But then we quickly find out that, woohoo, it's summer again. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun season.
Yeah, we went right from the bad dream to the bikini shopping.
Yeah. Which is just a big lie. Brenda is just lying for like the last couple of months to her parents.
And her dad gave her the credit card and she's just a big liar.
The green and white Amex. Do they still make those?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to have that when I was allowed a credit card.
Yeah, that's the first edition. It's the first edition American Express card. And he just gave it to her. I was like, whoa, Jim, what are you doing?
Yeah, because he's kind of trying to probably make up for sort of forcing her to stay away from Dylan. But at the same time, it's like,
she ain't staying away from Dylan.
He just has a soft spot for Brenda. Daddies and their girls.
I don't never know. Learned. I was just really disappointed to find out that she's lying.
Yeah, we need to dig into that whole
mess.
Were
you surprised, though?
Should we do that now? Yeah.
I mean, I guess I wasn't surprised. Yeah. Would you do that? Would you guys like lie to your dad for months on end about?
No.
No. I don't think I could.
That must have been hard.
And being that young, it's hard. I mean, as we get older, we develop the concept of like, okay, we know how to play this. But like 17, how do you lie for that long?
Yeah.
She's good. She's devious.
Well, yeah, and she just dragged everybody in on it. That was sort of like, she drags you guys in on it. She drags Brandon in on it. And it's just kind of a whole hot mess that we knew was going to explode and be just like a disaster.
I wonder if this is when I Hate Brenda Club really amped up.
I didn't hate Brenda as much as I didn't like legit hate her in this episode. I kind of like thought, oh, they love each other so much. And look how cute they are. I really thought Brenda and Dylan looked cute together, especially when they were in the shower on the beach. And he was like picking her up and kissing her. I liked that part.
Her hair was exceptional in this episode.
I also did have a comment on that shower scene. There seemed to be like a continuity issue because they were showering. Mm-hmm. And I believe her hair was dripping wet. And then she went to a perfect blow dry. But that might be just me.
Well, the ocean air dried it real fast.
Yeah. Okay. So like, tell me what you guys think of all that. Like as a storyline too, like, just all that drama with them. And
God. My note was, the Walshes are bringing the drama to the beach club. They step foot in the beach club and shit hits the fan. Like, what's up, Walshes?
Yeah, so, like maybe so lower your voices.
So now they're members at the beach club.
For the summer. Yeah, okay. Day one, they have a big fight in front of everybody.
Cheers-esque.
Everybody's got to be there. We all have to hang out either.
Have
at the
a reason.
Beach pit
Andrea
or,
works there. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's there.
You're right.
I love that place.
I love that place too. I want to join it.
Totally.
The beach club. We should bring back the beach club.
Oh my God.
That million would be percent. So I wonder fun. How much that was for them to get that. membership and the cabana.
Yeah. What do you think back in 1992? How much was a beach club worth in Los Angeles?
Oh,
you mean like a month?
Probably like, a yearly yeah. membership, or could you do month? Could you do day passes? I don't know.
Not cheap. I'm going with not cheap. It was bougie.
Like Beverly Hills, like $50,000. Like,
whoa.
That's what I was sort of thinking. That's what I was thinking.
Like, you think of country clubs and they're insane. It's like to join a country club, it's like 100,000. I mean, the like bougie ones. I know that there's like tiers that you can do, but I don't know. Could the Walshes really afford that?
I think they do okay.
Yeah, that okay. Since now that he's handling Dylan's money, he's rolling.
Yes, which that was kind of an interesting scene. I actually sort of enjoyed their confrontation, and Dylan's kind of trying to hold his own, but then Mr. Walsh really draws the line. Like, look, this is what I promised to your mother, so this is happening.
Yeah.
There's a whole interesting sort of like, is the right word dichotomy? Because it's like, you've got Jim versus Brenda. You've mm-hmm. got Dylan versus Jim. You've got, you know, just all kinds of like angst, and they've got this family dynamic, and it's just a whole mess, a giant mess.
It really is.
Season three comes out hot.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. Good.
With two interesting guest stars, obviously the chief from Grey's is there.
Right. And
yep. And really you can't recognize him by face, but if you close your eyes, the voice is.
What do you exact. Mean? James Pickens Jr.?
Yep.
As Henry Thomas. He was so great.
Really was. And then Peter Krause.
We gave him his start.
Can you believe how young he looked?
Oh my gosh.
That was amazing.
Do you think he remembers he was on 90210? Do you think he would ever? Actually, you know what? I think there's an interview somewhere online where someone asks him and he talks about being in an episode of 90210 before his career blew up.
And it was we cute. There are a lot of people that have that same interview. We should find out like all of them and put them together. A little reel.
And then say, you're welcome.
Talk about an explosion. I mean, for people listening that may not like know the name Peter Krause, like he's on 911, he's back on Fox, but he was on Parenthood and Six mm-hmm. Feet Under. Like
Six Feet Under.
Legit. Six Feet Under is so
which is coming back.
That.
Did you hear it's coming back? Did I hear wrong? Was that in a COVID dream?
I never heard that.
I heard Six Feet Under is coming back. Am I wrong?
We'll have to
Google. We're gonna have to look that up. And it was cute. He crushed on Andrea. Like they were, and like,
yeah.
And that then, was just,
and then
cute.
Why does Brandon get jealous? Because he is all the whole episode saying, ugh, what a bummer. She's going to be looking over my shoulder at the beach club. And I don't want to give her a ride anywhere and blah, blah, blah. And then a cute boy comes on out and he's
isn't
like,
that what? Just typical?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Men don't want you until there's someone else. And then they're like,
they can't have you.
Yes.
Well, and like Peter Krause was legit. So it was kind of like,
yeah, he was solid. Yeah, he just came in confident and hot and just, you know, I liked him. I want to see him again, honestly.
And I'm not going to lie. I loved that they were going to see Batman Returns. It was like a total legit pop culture reference with like the love of my life, Michael Keaton as Batman.
Oh, he was so good.
So that was like a great, just,
so
I
Six Feet Under is coming back. It has a reboot in the works at HBO. Super excited.
No way.
Yeah. I wonder if he was allowed to look us in the eyes because Jessica Alba wasn't. Do you think, Jen? What do you think, Jen?
It seemed as if he was looking us in the eyes. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. It was just a female thing then.
Maybe just a one time, a one off.
Yeah.
But right. What was the monologue that Henry had with Brandon on the beach? Did you guys notice that? Like, it started to get real for a second when he was talking about the
family.
Losses that his family had been through. And yeah. I think, did this episode coincide with the whole Rodney King and the riot thing?
That's exactly right. Cause he even makes the reference to the looters,
which
we are to assume because of the year.
Yep.
That was Rodney King.
Yep. And then it went away and I was like, oh, that's such a missed opportunity. It's some great, you know, reference to where the world was at that time. But nope, back to the beach club.
But it was interesting. I'm glad you bring it up because they did work sort of current events in a few times, more than I was used to in season one and two, with that reference and then the Batman Returns. So they are sort of...
It was weird. Like, it's like, oh, look how woke we are. But then they didn't really do it justice.
Which is typical 90210.
Yeah.
You know, we'll throw it in, pepper it, but...
Look how cool we are. Yeah.
Yeah. And done.
Okay, we discussed that you do make a reference to Jake. We've been wondering that for weeks.
The whole time we were doing the Melrose Place crossover, we were like, wait, okay, does this happen in real time? Mm-hmm. Is Kelly seeing Jake in the beginning of season three? And she is. So mm-hmm. this is them before we know what's going to happen. Because we're
exactly right. So we
yep, the sheets are still going to get cleaned. It's all going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of talk about that when you go to Paris, maybe absence will make the heart grow fonder between you and Jake.
And then I got so excited because when they say we're going to Europe, when Donna's driving the Beamer and they're like, we're going to Europe. And I got so excited. Europe's coming.
That's were you like, so I'm fun. Going to Europe?
It's very exciting.
You got something so much better than Paris, though. No spoilers yet, but it was worth the stay.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Before you joined, we're counting down to this is a big season. We don't want to spoil it for any first timers. So I have a question. Here's a question that I thought of during this. Because you make a reference. One of you says, I'm not spoiled. I'm privileged. Which was sort of like there was some awareness. Who is, of all the group, the wealthiest? Like, is it Donna? Is it Steve? Like, who is the wealthiest?
We never, ever, ever have been asked this question.
Ever. That is so interesting. Okay, let's take a moment. Yeah, let's go through what all the parents do.
Well, it's parents' money. It's all parents' money.
Right.
Okay, so... But I feel like Dylan has a little bit more a handle of the money than any of the other parents.
Yeah, he's might have the
his
most.
Hands in it.
Mm-hmm. It's dirty money.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, he
dirty
might.
Dirty money. Yeah.
Wait, I just blanked out. What does Jackie do?
Nothing.
So all her
she
money,
marries.
She marries. Well, okay. So what do you remember what your father does?
Nope.
John Taylor? Wait, I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll have to look that up.
I mean, she lives a nice life, obviously.
And Mel is
a dentist.
He's a dentist.
Yeah. So he's doing
like
fine,
a really
but
high.
Not...
Yeah. Okay. But he could be a big dentist. Like, big you know, dentist. Maybe he does like Kim Kardashian or something. And that's maybe. Big money. Mm-hmm. My dad's a cardiologist, right? I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and Steve's. Mom is an actress.
Yeah, so she probably has some dough. That's why I was like, oh, he might be.
I don't think so, honestly, because I know the life of an actress. And they also reference, like, she hasn't gotten work. And remember in the last season, he was, like, worried that she's trying to get her job with that one guy?
It doesn't hold out for long.
It doesn't last.
So it's probably, like, Dylan, then, I don't know, Kelly's mom? Jackie?
Maybe.
So Dylan, Kelly, and then
Donna,
because a cardiologist probably makes more than a dentist.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Let's be real.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm putting Definitely. Steve on the bottom of the privileged list.
Yeah, I think so. But he leads like the fanciest life is the funny part.
Well, yeah, I definitely
well,
got the vibe.
Are at the bottom. Well, let's be fair. Andrea's at the bottom, but.
Well, this is great that we've broken it down.
I feel like we missed a character.
The Did Walshes. Did you think of the Walshes?
There's two. Yeah. Okay. Wow, Amy, are you happy?
Yeah, I am.
Feel better now?
Okay. I've been pondering this for a while.
Okay.
So, should we talk about Donna's parents' marriage?
Yeah.
The last we saw, they were splitting up and mommy was having an affair.
Mm. Yeah.
And sweet Donna doesn't want to go out of town because
she's worried. Don't you feel like when we were young, that wasn't something you were always nervous? You were always scared, like, oh, if he likes me, what if he likes someone else? But it was never like, you never, when you're in a full-on relationship, thought about, like, what happens if this progresses and we stay together and we end up getting married one day and then he cheats on me? Like, what is the fallout of that? Because I felt like at a young age, like, at least in my household, like, my parents never fought in front of each other. And it wasn't until I was an adult and they both told me their sides of it that I was like, things weren't perfect. You know, they stayed together, but there it wasn't always happy. And I kind of felt gypped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, you know what? I never heard you anything. So when I became an adult and I didn't know how to fight, I didn't know how to communicate. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wish you guys had shown me a little bit of disagreement in front of us, because we would have understood, like, this is love. Mm-hmm. Like, love is fighting and getting through, because you're not the same person.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's so true. Well, I've exposed my children to plenty of learning this.
Same, same.
It's interesting. Because, yeah. It's like you don't want it to be, you know, La La Land or whatever the word would be. Like, you want to see real life so that when you grow up, you're able to exist in reality.
Yeah, it's not fairy tales.
Right, but I still feel like this generation, what are they called? Gen Zers are, it feels so fluid, like swipe. You don't like it, just swipe to the next. You don't like that relationship? Okay, go to the next one. Like, it just feels so replaceable. And I feel like that is, I feel like that's a conversation.
That's such an interesting question. Yeah. Jenny, do you feel like your kids experience heartache in the same way that you and Tori did when you were their age and Kelly and Donna? Or are they able to, like, move on quicker?
No. I don't think so. I think the heart hurts how it hurts. That hasn't changed.
So even with the swiping and thinking that they're not going to get hurt.
Yeah. It's more so just faith in, you know, people. And I feel like that has waned and taken a hit.
Yeah.
Somehow.
As much as I wrote that Brenda was whiny and I did find her a tad annoying, I do think it's realistic, sort of the teen drama. Like, my parents want me to be away from this guy and I'm not doing that. I'm going to see this guy instead of doing it like an adult and having a conversation or saying, like, can we be supervised? Whatever the hell they would come up with that seems more, but it's like, you do feel that, like, oh, she's not going to stay away from him. She loves him. And it's so dramatic and the running to the bedroom and the door knocking and it's all that, but, like,
it's true. But they always say that, like, if you forbid your kid from seeing who they want to, you know, be boyfriend, girlfriend with, then they're going to do it anyway. I've heard that recently in my house. Don't forbid it, 'cause they're going to do it anyway. And I'm like, really? I'm not, I don't think they could fool me. Like, I would know if I was Jim and Cindy, I would know that Brenda had been seeing him for 2 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This really makes me ask you guys a question, because we're at the beach club and Mrs. Walsh comes out on the deck and she sees them and she wasn't going to tell him.
Mm-mm. I wanted her to cover it. Like, I was like, ooh, that'll be interesting if he doesn't see it.
But that is typical her. It's like she was okay with them going to Mexico and staying in a motel.
She's a softie. She's a little too,
she is. Or is she just like a believer in love and a little more free-spirited, even though she's in a conformed life now?
Even though Jim speaks to her like, I told you, we're leaving. Did you
hear? That was, so many thoughts on that whole thing. It was a little...
I was like, I don't know if I liked it or if I didn't like it from Jim.
Right, or if it was of the time, you know. And then I noticed one of the things that Jim is most upset about is that despite the lying and that she's been lying to them, he says, he has his hands all over you. It's like, there's a lot of that.
He did. I saw them, that he had hands all over her and wet hands.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, okay, so you both are moms. What would you do in this situation? Would you have, even, obviously Jenny's not going to try to forbid because it doesn't work. What would you have done? What should Jim and Cindy have done? they obviously didn't do it right because she just lied. And
oh my gosh. Oh, I went through similar situation when I was 15. This is going to be the most unrelatable story to people out there, but I'm going to make it real short. So when I was growing up, obviously I grew up in wealth and my parents had a chef. And I had a thing, a little love, like nothing happened, but a flirtation with our chef. I was 15 and he was 24.
I want this to be a movie. I want this to be a Hallmark Christmas movie.
A Christmas movie with a spin. It's everything works out. And I know I was just like, no, lying. I just ranted on Brenda lying for months, but I semi-lied for months. I remember like he would leave notes. I would do my homework in our little like breakfast room and I would leave it out. And he would go in there and leave me little notes. So in the morning I'd be at school and I'd open and find a little note from him. And I'd be like, oh my gosh. And like I had to walk through the kitchen.
How old was he?
24.
And you were
15.
Okay. Oh my God. This is Jake and Kelly.
Kind of.
No, this is
and he was like a surfer and cool. And he had just like gone to culinary school and he grew up in LA and he came to my school dance once and I met him outside in his red pickup truck and we made out in the truck and then I went back in and then my parents picked me up.
I cannot believe the story.
Andy picked me up from school once, and that's when I got caught.
He was trying to get with the boss's daughter. This guy is not kind smart.
But he never pushed me into anything. We never did anything more than like making out. Nothing ever crossed the line yet, I guess. I don't know. You know, maybe I was naive.
Literally Jake and Kelly.
But I went to an all-girls school, and I met him outside. The red pickup truck was the dead giveaway. He picked me up and he was like subletting a guest house in Beverly Glen area near my school. And he took me there and we made out and they dropped me off. It was like recess and dropped me off before my next class. And I went into school and foolishly passed a note to somebody saying what had just happened. And she told her mom and her mom called my mom.
Wait, no. So my burning question is, was that your first time in a pickup truck? That's all I
know. You
know
it was.
Yeah.
What did your mom do?
Okay, so I came home from school that day and his cookbooks weren't there.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, something's happened. And I walked in and it was just silence in the house. And my nanny who raised me was there and she was like, your mom wants to speak to you. And I was like, uh-oh. And I just knew. So I walked up, she took me like privately. My dad was there, but she's like, I want to speak to you privately. And she went in and her big question was, I'll never forget this. And I can't say this word is she said, I need to know right now. It's a legal thing. Was there penetration?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. She was serious.
And I was like, Mom,
for her. Good for her.
Penetration.
But still what lead with that?
She
Candy, yeah. Like, come on.
Still good
she
for
was
her.
Worried. She was like, she was so
she
worried.
Did not like that this guy took advantage of you. That's where she was at, which I understand as a mom.
The good news is they handled it properly. They sent me to therapy and they allowed him to do therapy with my therapist to kind of get his story and he complied. They weren't going to take legal action, like, but they handled
it. So this was pre-90210.
It was right before. It was literally right before. I think it was Saved by the Bellish. Yeah.
During. I feel
But he went on to get married to another chef and have a huge restaurant that was in Santa Monica for years. And I remember running into him one day and I was like, really? He was like, hi. And I was like, oh, he's shorter than I remember. Oh, he's not as cute as I remember. And I was just like, huh, there was nothing. But yeah.
Whoa. That's so teen girl to like the older guy. But I do think if it had been a year or two later when you were working and on 90210, I think things would have been different. Because I don't know that your dad could have been mad if you started dating Ian. And the age difference was probably the same.
Oof. What if you had started dating Ion? I just wanted to say it like that, Ion. That's how my husband says it every single time.
He does.
Ion. I'm like, if you ever say it like that in front of him,
by accident, he's going to slip one day and it's going to come out. Oh my God. But see, that's the guys were so aware. The guys were so aware about girls underage and not, and fans. They were like, yeah. The only one could get away with it was Brian because he was underage. So he could be with any girl he wanted, you know? Nothing was
that's
bad.
Interesting. I wonder if they were like that, because that's kind of ahead of its time too. Or if like Fox executives spoke to them or your dad or somebody had a conversation with the boys saying, hey, you guys are older and these fans are young.
But they didn't talk to us about anything back then. Like, we wish somebody had like talked. We always say that. Like, we were just like
thrown to the wolves.
Like, had one of the producers that was a mentor that could kind of talk to us about navigating what we were going through, because it was difficult and we didn't know who to talk to. And they were all we had. We were with them, you know, 24/7 basically.
But maybe the guys had that. Maybe they had that, like Paul Wagner, or, you know, they had, we had a couple of producers that were with the guys a lot.
Something tells me no. I don't know.
Did any of them have a celebrity friend that came just before them that had been through it? Like, I was trying to think of a name of somebody like a Kirk Cameron or somebody like that. Like, maybe that's a bad example, but you know what I mean? Like a somebody that was sort of, I don't know, John Stamosy.
Yeah. Who was right before like us? Yeah. Who was the big TV?
Like in the late
80s. Whoa, like Joey Lawrence.
I still think Stamos. When was that? God, I love Stamos.
Do you say you love Stamos?
He's so hot.
He lives in my community.
Babe.
Totally. He drives a golf cart.
So I have a few other little tidbits that I would love to ask about. Okay. Steve working at the Peach Pit. That was sort of the, would you guys call that the C storyline?
Yep.
C minus. And that was sort of interesting. They're kind of trying to make something out of that that wasn't much, but it was, that's also how you kind of realize he's so privileged.
Right. But yeah, we also see how he's not very good at hospitality, which is a big shocker. Uh-huh. And my question was, why is he walking around with a spatula? He's not the guy on the grill. He's not making hamburgers. He's serving them. He kept waving a spatula around. Like, what waiter carries a spatula?
That's so Steve though. Like, he has the power. He has the mic, looking busy.
The other question I had during this episode, and I don't know why it's standing out to me so much in this episode. In my memory, Brandon and Dylan were best friends. Mm-hmm. But in this episode, I literally wrote a note. Are they even friends? Because they seem to... it's not like Brandon totally has Dylan's back like a friend. And it's so weird with the sister. So it's like... what was that?
It was caught in the middle. Like, I could imagine that Brandon wouldn't know where he stands with either of them because he doesn't want to lie for them. He doesn't want to get caught up in the drama of it all.
Although
he loves to stir the pot.
Yeah.
With his sister.
Yeah.
He loves to like poke at her at the dinner table.
My take is that Steve is his best friend.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because I do feel like throughout the seasons, their friendship kind of is on and off depending on the storyline of the week, of the episode.
Yeah.
It's not consistent. Steve is always consistent. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, that's interesting how looking back, it feels different than now when I'm in it, rewatching it again.
But they're both I like to think of them as best friends.
Yeah. They kind of go together.
They both had amazing hair in this episode, like phenomenal hair.
You had great hair in this episode. You look really pretty.
Thank you.
You were like wearing red lips and your hair was like.
I was getting it down a little bit more by the third season.
And there was a really cool white top.
A lot of hairspray.
Mm-hmm. Wait, should we take a break?
Yes.
And then come back and talk about fashion and favorite lines. Okay, let's do it. Is there anything we were missing from this episode that you wanted to talk about, Sugarman?
I mean, I feel like we covered it. We didn't dig too much into Andrea. Like, she is working at the beach club. She's sort of that like head counselor playing the games with the kids.
She wears her cap a lot. Yeah, we're good.
Brandon's all mad about it. Peter Krause was really cute. Editor of the Blaze, goes to Northwestern, was working for CNN.
Does he go on to be in another episode?
Maybe.
Well, no. No. You know what bugged me though was at the end when Jim and Cindy just allow Brenda to move out.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Come on. Weird. Like that's right. going to happen.
Right.
No. Yeah. It wasn't a tactic, 18. Right? No. She's not 18.
No. She doesn't get to do what she wants.
No.
But, right. But what's he going to do?
Was like, what are you going to do? Drag her out right. kicking and screaming? I'd be like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's yeah. what I'm going to do.
Why don't they ground her?
Just can't control take away her landline or something.
But they told her, don't see him. And he did, and she did. So, like, what are they going to do? Like, she's going to crawl out the window. Do you know what I mean?
Send her away.
Take away her Birkenstock she's vacuuming in.
Send her to like a boot camp for kids.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I do.
Boarding school. She should have gone to boarding school.
Think she's that bad?
She's lying to her parents and run away and living in a man's boy's house. Like, how old is Dylan at this point?
17 too?
Yeah, 17.
And he's probably like emancipated. He lives like an adult.
Yeah.
It bugged me.
It is interesting that Dylan lives on his own and that they let her go there. So even though not in this particular episode, but in past episodes, like as a mom
You're not gonna let your daughter go hang out at her boyfriend's pad
house. With
so
no
what
parents.
Would you do, Jen? Because I know you've been through similar things where you'll let them over, but door has to be open.
Listen, I'm doing good. You're right, though. I would control it more.
Yeah, that's
as good. Much as I could have them over to our house.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, you know they're going to make their way over to his house.
Right. Maybe at recess.
And you just have to pray and trust. Pray and trust.
Or hire someone to follow them.
Or hire PI.
Yeah.
My only other note is that they really play up the polarization between Brenda being bad, sort of bad and doing bad things, and Brandon is the perfect son. I mean, that is, he just...
Well, he's not doing anything wrong. He's just doing it, working. He's working for a living.
He's
shows up to work on
guy.
Time.
I would never have dated a Brandon. He's just so good.
Always rolls his little shirt sleeves up. So cute. You know, so you can't get mad at
Dylan
that.
Dylan does that too. Do we like that? I don't know.
That's how you know they're best friends.
that's it.
Mm-hmm. They both have the
sleeves in real life. They used to roll their cigarettes, right?
In the 50s.
No, didn't they? Didn't the boys do it on set?
I don't think
so. Yeah, do you think they invented that, as in Jason Priestley, Luke Perry? Or did some...
No, they did. I remember them doing it.
Yeah.
Rolling them up. I don't know how they got them to stay, because whenever I roll my t-shirt sleeves up, they don't stay.
Well, now they sew it. When you buy a shirt, some shirts, they like sew it. I'm not...
It's
not
the same. They sew it.
It's not the same.
I don't like it when they sew it, because then it, like, after you wash it once, like, the parts that aren't sewn are flopped down, and then it's like a weird, like, half up, half down thing. It's not good.
Well, what they had to do is almost like shrink, or like, I bet they like altered the sleeves a little so they came in at just a tiny bit, so when you rolled it, they stayed.
You think that? Or did you remember when you did like the cross on the jeans, when you rolled up the jeans at the bottom, you had to like cross it over and then roll it up?
Yeah.
Egg.
Yeah. Egg. Yep. They did that.
I, despite my love of Ian Ziering, cannot handle those shirts. It's just...
What shirt? What are you... Which one are you...
The buttoned up to here or the tight or what?
It's just the buttoned up to here. Ugh,
I didn't have a big, huge problem with his outfits because he was mostly in the Peach Pit shirt.
True. But in the beginning...
Which I thought showed a lot of his chest hairs.
Yes.
I was like, wow.
He should have shaved those. He's supposed to be a 17-year-old boy.
And it's weird because a little behind the scenes thing, Ian was a trimmer.
Yes. He was a manscaper before it was ever popular.
Oh, big time. He taught me to trim my arm hair, you guys.
No.
I will never forget in the makeup trailer, because I would always see him and he used this little thing called a peanut. It's like a little electrical shaver, and you put a guard on it, and he would shave it all up everywhere. Shave his pits, shave his chest, shave his arms. Even and his I was like, wow, you're supposed to do that. And then he taught me how to do my arms, because I have very furry arms genetically, and I love them because my dad gave them to me. But so I've been a trimmer. I trim the arm hair too now. Still do it. And every time I do it, I think of Ian.
Where was I that moment? Because I could have used it. My arms are so hairy. And
Your face hair.
I've always had face hair. And Brian, I've told you, used to call me lamb chops or Chewbacca. And
Chewbacca, yeah.
Yeah. And then Jen started shaving my face. So that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've taught my girls to do it too.
It's smart.
Because they're a little furrier than you'd think.
And P.S., when your skin is smooth, your makeup goes on better. You look younger.
This is true.
Yeah.
Okay, fashion.
Fashion.
Peter Krause's like? Denim on denim. Not mad about it.
What do they call that? A Canadian?
Canadian.
Tuxedo.
Yeah.
Why? Why do they call it this?
And I thought your magenta bikini was amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was. That color. She always looks good in a pop of color.
I know. You know, I didn't even notice the bathing suit I was wearing. I just was marveling at the way I was sitting with my like stomach kind of rolled. Like I was sitting comfortably. I wasn't like posing it out, but my tummy, even though it had little rolls, it looked so cute.
Remember those days where you didn't
you could just sit naturally.
You could just sit and you just mm-hmm. naturally looked good.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have to like suck it up or hold it in or anything.
No. That bathing suit top, you always wore those specific tops. What is that top called? That
it was like an underwire-y one. Mm-hmm.
They yeah. always looked so good on you.
I think I had like little boobies. It like pushed them up.
It was a good top.
I want to tell you my favorite standout wardrobe moment was from Jim when he wore the Rainbow Pride shirt with, you know, the shorts. I liked the shorts because I could see his legs.
Okay, I got to tell you, I was like, wow, third season, maybe she's lost it for Jim because I haven't heard you talk about him. And I was a little nervous, but I see it's still there. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And then when I told you, when he talked about Cindy, when he talked to Cindy so roughly, I kind of liked it.
You secretly liked it.
Yeah.
I only had a note about Jenny's big necklace, Kelly's big necklace in the BMW when they were driving, and Tori, Donna's white top was sort of a see-through.
I love that top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's semi back in.
That felt kind of iconic to me. 90210 iconic.
Yeah.
What about favorite lines from the episode? Mm. What did these kids say in this episode that you just loved? I love the privilege line. Like,
yep. I didn't have a favorite line. I had
I'm
a
not
favorite,
spoiled. I'm privileged.
I had a favorite moment that just really made me melt.
Oh, what?
So
it's David not called 90210. No, it's not the moment. Amy, it's
not
a battle line.
The rules a little bit. So David and Donna are at the Peach Pit and Steve, their waiter, comes over and Tori, you gave a cute wink. And then Ian has this adorable smile moment.
I know what you're talking about.
And that really, I was like, wow. Like, I just loved every single second of that moment.
I did too. You could feel like that the actors were really bringing their relationships off camera into the scene.
Yes, because my sort of question was, would that be directed or was that something that Tori mm-hmm. and Ian did? And I just, mm-hmm. I thought it was
probably, they didn't usually give direction like that.
Mm-mm.
That was back when I could wink before Botox. Oh, it's those days. Wait, can I just, you guys, do you know this thing, Allie? A-L-L-E.
Who dat?
It's you sign up and you get points, like reward points. Like, you know how you get it? Like Sephora, whatever. Reward points you can use at dermatologists. And all dermatologists are kind of linked into Allie now. I think it's called Allie or LA, whatever. It has a little thing on the E. And it, you get points towards your next, like, injectables or facial or things like that. So I applied and, you know, you have it. And I got an email that said, we've noticed that you've gone more than 3 months without your Botox.
Oh.
And my heart sank. And I was like, I felt shamed. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. 3 months, they're telling
Dude,
me.
They just want your money.
But it's just reward points. But they were being honest. So I was like, oh, my gosh, I've gone. So I haven't done Botox yet. But look, I can wink again. I can raise my eyebrows. I might never go back.
Yeah.
Wait, when you get Botox, you can't wink?
My face can't do things that I don't know.
Huh.
It depends. I guess I can wink. Look. I'm surprised.
Well, this is an interesting road we've gone down.
Sorry. Anyway.
I want you to know we have some questions.
Okay.
Should we answer them?
Yes.
Okay. Amy, will you read the questions? Because my eye drops aren't working quite that well.
This is from Jennifer. What was the feeling like going into filming a new season? Were you nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think so. Going, like, you had a break, a hiatus, and whatever. We were all apart for like a month, maybe. Mm-hmm. And we would work independently or go on vacation, change our hair, get tan, whatever. And then you go back to, it was like going back to school.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I was always nervous to see everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
And from Kaylee, how does it feel when your love interest changes from one character to another? Which, ooh, Kaylee, in 18 weeks, ask this again.
It depends on who the new character is and how hot they are.
Yeah, it does depend.
It's nice to freshen it up.
Yeah.
To get those butterflies again, which we naturally feel with the opposite sex, like when you're into them. And like, so it's kind of that, like a new boy in school.
Fresh meat.
Fresh meat.
Yeah, and as the seasons go on, we get more fresh meat coming and going.
Yes, we do.
I do find myself thinking, though, when I see, like, because I don't want to spoil it, but we all know Kelly and Brandon have a thing later in the run. I always think, how did that happen? Because we're just distant friends at this point. I'm a friend of his. Kelly's a friend of his sister, and they have real no relationship. And then all of a sudden.
I kind of love that. That feels real to me. Felt real.
It grows.
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited to see that.
I mean, hold tight, girl. Let's 18 weeks first. We got a big one.
You keep saying 18 weeks.
How do you know
please
exactly?
Explain to our listeners what in the hell you're talking about.
I can't believe she knows pinpoint.
I don't
want to
ruin
anything.
So what happened was on TikTok, TikTok. I need to stop with the TikTok, but it came up on my TikTok, the scene, and I don't want to ruin anything, where Kelly and Dylan go to Brenda's door. And it was very quick. And I thought to myself, this is coming. So I got on my little Google and I think in about it's imminent. So I don't want to ruin anything, but this is a big season.
This happens in this season, you're saying?
Yeah. So I think in about 17 weeks.
Oh, God, that's a long time.
That does feel like a long time, but so much is going to happen in the next.
So much is going to happen. So much is going to happen. Very exciting, you guys. Okay, let's talk about next week. Next episode, we all have to do our homework, get back into our routine of watching another episode every week so we can chat about it.
Who's even mad about that? This season is amazing.
No, I'm excited.
I'm so
we're already on a roll. Now it's feeling exciting.
Like, it's getting good, you guys. Okay, next episode. What's it called? The Twins, the Trustee, and the Very Big Trip.
Yes, which you guys, I'll save it for next week because there's a lot of stories with the twins.
Oh, okay.
If you guys remember, they're really triplets, but only two. I'll save it. What? You guys will recognize the twins, and they were the three triplet girls.
I thought you were talking about Brandon and Brendan, and that there was a third one.
No,
we didn't know.
So sorry.
Oh, is it the Sweet Valley High girls that are coming? Do you know what I'm talking about? No.
It was the three brown-haired girls. They were all three triplets, but only two are in the episode.
But wait, it's not. Wait, they were already on the show?
I don't think they've been on yet.
Wait, is it the girls from Sweet Valley High? Does anyone know what I'm talking about, or I'm dating myself?
They're blonde.
I know Sweet Valley High, but I don't think it was those girls, Brittany Daniel or whatever.
Oh, no, it's Brittany Daniel? No.
No, it isn't. These are different girls that were of the era. They worked a lot then.
No, not Sweet Valley High, but that was the remake. Wait. They had brown curly hair.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're coming.
One
they're
was on
coming.
Saved by the Bell. Okay.
Yes,
they're
that's right. Next Tori, week. You got it. That's exactly right. One was on Saved by the Bell.
But they were on a big series where they were twins as well. Were they not?
I have to refresh my memory on that.
Zach and Cody. That's all I can think of. I don't know.
Well,
I'm excited to watch it next week. The twins, the trustee, and the very big trip. All right, you guys. So glad to be back with everyone, right?
Same. Love you guys.
Bye.